Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you inspiration, tips, and learning about tuning into the language of your soul and gain a deep, intuitive understanding of your inner self, your guides, and the animals around you, so you are able to live from your heart with grace, love, and gratitude. We bring together spiritual leaders, energy healers, and awakened humans, so we are able to collaborate and help you feeling loved, joyful, and free by providing clear direction on how to connect soul to soul. So welcome, Judy. Lovely to have you on the show.
Hi, Bianca. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's just, I'm so looking forward to chatting with you.
Wonderful. Me too. So some in the world will know about you. But the wider communities may not have heard about you as yet. So would you mind explaining what you do and a little bit about how you got into it?
Sure. So I'm an equine facilitated learning practitioner. So that means I work with my horses and other people's horses on the ground. The horses are unmounted and at liberty, and we work at helping humans become better humans. I partner with my horses to aid human development. And, that's kind of a pretty broad introduction, but I can give you some more kind of examples of the type of people I might work with and how that might show up. But I was brought into that field, or, was guided to that field, having loved horses all my life, just lifelong passion for horses from the time I could crawl towards one, I did. And always had horses in my world, always, rode and in many different disciplines and things, but just a very special horse that I had, a soulmate horse, started to show me a different way. And she was my greatest teacher on this earth, and was definitely a soulmate. And I'll tell you a little bit more about her perhaps later. But she guided me to look at, really to question, I think, a lot of what I was, how I, was with horses and what I was doing. And so I started to really explore, different ways of being with horses. And that led me to, reading various things, and led me to a workshop with a fabulously spiritual woman called Barbara Rector, who is from Arizona and is considered one of the founders of this work in the world. And she, is known as the grandmother of this field. And Barbara's actually in her 70s now, but just the most wonderful spiritual being. And a workshop with her just changed my world. And that was it. I had no choice. This was the path that I was, going on. And so then I started exploring, sort of different qualifications. I really started exploring the field and looking at what was available at the time. And I came across Linda Kohanov's work. And Linda has published several books. She has a beautiful card deck of equine archetypes, The Way of the Horse. And she's published The Tao of Equus, was her first book, which was groundbreaking at the time. And then Riding Between the Worlds, which is just beautiful. And then two more recent books, which are more focused on working with horses with leadership, having studied nomadic herders and leaders and nomadic tribes and herders. So she wrote The Power of the Herd and Five Roles of a Master Herder. So she, being a published author and being quite well known, I started to look at the ApponaQuest training and apprenticeship for equine facilitated learning or equine guided human development. And that was the model I chose to follow. So that again led me back to Arizona. and it's quite a long apprenticeship. But what I loved about her approach and model was that it incorporated shamanic work, it incorporated sentient communication, it incorporated a lot of personal development work and a lot of assignments. And you know, really stretched you, and, you know, with a great reading list with a number of things that just opened avenues that I hadn't yet explored. So, yeah, so that is how I became an approved or recommended ApponaQuest instructor. And, you know, more recently I had Linda over here doing a couple of workshops, which was fabulous, her first visit to Australia. And she also did some Master Herder accreditation for myself and some ApponaQuest colleagues, because she hadn't run that training, which is, you know, happened, been developed subsequent to my qualification. So she ran that for a few of us here in Australia and New Zealand. So yeah, that's equine facilitated learning, and, you know, my abbreviated version of my journey towards it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. It's really awesome. Yes, I know of Linda's work as well. I've got her book, The Power of the Herd, and I certainly have the deck of cards as well. They are absolutely amazing.
They are
wonderful to work with. Yeah.
They are. Well, you know, we'd scheduled this interview for a while ago, and I drew a card thinking about that interview, and you'll be happy to know I drew Black Horse Wisdom, which is, you know, that wonderful kind of integrating the knowledge of what's unseen, what's in the dark, what's unknown, because that's what the Black Horse symbolizes, of course. You know, she was known as the Melanipe, you know, the black night, the black mare that visited at night, and the black horse, the black mare, was always seen as the kind of the feminine, as opposed to the white horse like Pegasus or those kind of messages, which were always seen as masculine. And white horses were a different kind of messenger. They came from great wisdom, and they're associated with the Buddha and various other spiritual leaders. There's quite a lot of mythology and tales around that. The white horse with the male, and then the black horse with the female. But of course, the black horse takes us to the unknown and the void, which is just where the gold is, really. So, you know, so that was beautiful. And then I drew one for today, and I got card number 34, which is Chiron, you know, the centaur, the wounded healer, which is just perfect too.
Wow. I wonder who and what we need to heal.
You know, my horses are my wounded healers. We're all wounded healers, but, you know, it's kind of getting the wisdom behind the wound, you know, and realizing, you know, Chiron, of course, was the founder of the healing arts, having been what seemed to be fatally wounded himself, because he was teaching archery, hence the centaur and the sort of Sagittarian archer. But as he went into a cave and to go and heal himself, you know, that's when he really learnt all his true power and his true healing ability, which we all have. You know, I truly believe we all have the ability to heal ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
So tapping into that, you know, is just beautiful. And, you know, I look at, you know, my horses, and, you know, so much they're kind of wounded healers too. You know, they're just amazing. Just amazing. So they carry so much of that Chiron, you know, energy and that archetypal energy. They're just extraordinary how they hold the space for people and how they just know what people need. I'm just blown away every time, really. I'm just so privileged to do the work I do. And I've been, you know, I've learned over the years to also just, you know, absolutely trust the horses and get out of their way. I just kind of show up and you know, kind of interpret things now and again for people, and when they need words, as opposed to, you know, actually what's, you know, just being felt, and the sort of felt sensation and the emotional sensations and the embodied sensations. And that's another reason it's very powerful work, because, you know, you're out in nature. Horses are big, you know, even when they're quite small, horses are a big presence. You know, they've got a huge heart field. You can feel the power of their presence. Yes. And, you know, so people, it automatically helps people to become more present and mindful, you know, because of just the physicality of them. And so getting people grounded, getting people back into nature, you know, helps to get them, you know, really tuning into their senses and their bodies. Most people spend so much time being the sort of head up, you know, just talking heads, you know, running around, you know, with that kind of, you know, just listening to the, you know, the cognitive rational brain, as opposed to listening to their bodies. You know, Linda Kohanov always talks about your body as being the horse you ride round on. So it's kind of, you know, listen to your horse is always the message that, you know, we're giving people, and getting them into that embodied wisdom, which enables you then to get to that place where you can tap into your multiple intelligences and really start to access your intuition in a far more powerful way.
Yeah, and you know what you were talking about as well, around the fact that they're such healers and they know exactly what is needed for us. I have experienced as well that horses have that almost tenfold compared to other beings.
Yeah,
their presence is so enormous. They come with such an amazing wisdom, and you know, animals definitely have that level of knowing what is needed for us in that moment, and knowing exactly where we're at.
Yeah,
what are some of these energies that we may need to shift. With horses, it's almost like they have another level to them.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I know what needs to be done, but I can also help you, and I can also alleviate some of that pain and these wounds that you may experience and bring you to a point where you can start your healing as well. So they just add that to it. It's just an amazing... Oh yeah, it's an amazing experience to work with horses.
It is. It's such a gift, you know. As you know, all animals, you know, I believe all animals are, you know, here to teach us and guide us.
Oh, no doubt.
I think, you know, we're you know, I find it kind of amusing in some respects and terribly sad in others that you know, humans seem to think that they're, you know, top of the pile and so smart, when I think, no, seriously, guys, you know, like these, you know, these, so many animals just have it way over us, truly. You know, really knowing what matters and really being connected and understanding. I do believe, you know, they all come, and I've experienced, you know, with my own pets, my own companion animals, you know, cats and dogs, of them taking things on for me in the past, you know, and understood, you know, and learned the sort of power of that, and how, you know, you have to kind of be very mindful of that, and also, you know, what they will take on for you and what they do offer, and just how, you know, how wise they are, the journeys we're on. And I've also, you know, just been so delighted to realize that so many of my animals are, you know, kind of fellow kind of soul family travelers that I've had experiences with in past lives, and you know, and so we just reconnect, and sometimes, you know, in different ways, and that's just so beautiful. But horses, coming back to the power of horses doing this work, and I think it's, you know, it is partly to do with size, because when I, you know, I grew up in Africa, and so when I think of like the time that I've spent around sitting in herds of elephant, and just feeling the power of their presence, and just the unbelievable, you know, kind of healing and wisdom that's accessible, you know, when you're just truly, you know, connecting with an elephant. It's quite extraordinary. I mean, all animals bring their own medicine and their own kind of, you know, particular energy. But horses, you know, horses are partnered with humans for years, you know, more longer than any other animal, really. I mean, dogs and cats chose to kind of come and socialize with us, you know, dogs from the wolf, you know, species, you know, became, you know, decided it was good to sort of partner with us. There was a reciprocal arrangement there. You know, cats, while cats are, you know, they're just extraordinary and from a whole different sort of planet and mastery, but they've also, you know, been a very integral part, you know, and again, partly a reciprocal relationship, although, you know, truly we all know cats are always the masters of the of the relationship. But, you know, if you look back at a lot of the Egyptian kind of culture, then that's all, you know, the cats that were so sacred, that were kind of, you know, buried, you know, in entombed in mummies, you know, with, you know, they were just very much a part of, you know, the world. But horses have always partnered with us in a very different way. You know, they've given us freedom and power and status, you know, and they've enabled, you know, they've, you know, for such a powerful animal, you know, they've chosen to partner with us. There is no way we could have, you know, enticed animals to horses to pull the kind of carts and things that they did, you know, if they hadn't actually chosen, you know, to do that as a role to help us. And, you know, when you look at the years of, you know, in war, you know, what horses have done, you know, they've stepped up as a species to do that. And, you know, the horse ancestors are just have so much wisdom, and they have so much to teach us, and they are, you know, they are really here to help us wake up and heal. They really are. I believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I'm just sort of seeing all these beautiful horses coming around, you know, and the ones that are physically here, but also the ones that have passed over. How amazing it is to have them combined doing the work.
Exactly. I'm a big fan of ancestral healing, and with, you know, some clients that I'm working with, because I also am a shamanic practitioner, you know, if I'm working with people who are on a very spiritual path and in personal development work, then I'll often, you know, engage some shamanic practice. And we'll work with ancestral healing and call horse ancestors in while we're out with the horses to, you know, come and offer their sort of support and wisdom and strength to it, you know, to the session as well. And, you know, that can be just deeply powerful and moving.
So talking about sessions, what can we expect? Like, how do you run sessions? Because I can imagine that, you know, we can't just bring our horse and get started in that.
But so there's several ways that I work, and, you know, several, you know, different populations that I work with. So what I love to do the most is that personal development and the sort of, you know, work with people, and particularly with women. You know, women have a very strong connection with horses. I think there's something about horses and women that there's just a very strong soul connection. And, and, you know, so many of us, you know, both younger women, but also, you know, then women in their, you know, midlife, you know, have often suppressed so much of what they want for others, and to really kind of help them reconnect to their true self and, you know, kind of either find their true north again, or, you know, just and enable them to engage in a more authentic way, and, you know, to stop being living in the conditioned self, but to be, you know, really authentic and come home to what matters, you know, is true for them. That's kind of work that I love to do. And so sessions like that, you know, people would typically, I would have an introductory sort of chat with someone over the phone about what they, you know, what their aims are and, you know, what they want. And then we'll set up a time for a session. And then in the first sort of session, you know, we'll obviously meet the horses. So they'll come to, you know, my premises in South Maroota, just it's about equidistant, 15 minutes from Windsor, 15 minutes from Wiseman's Ferry, sort of on the northwest outskirts of Sydney. And, you know, at first, some people are obviously, you know, a little nervous of horses. So, you know, depending on where people are at and whether they've had any horse experience, you know, we'll start sessions in a different way, but always with just observing the horses. You know, we'll start to ground. There's a tool I use, you know, the body scan, which just helps people to get very, it's a mindful body scan, not a relaxing body scan. So just to get people started to get in touch with their bodies and become grounded and aware. So we'll engage the senses and engage awareness, and we'll, you know, focus on breath, because the breath is so important to everything. And we'll look at, we'll observe the horses, and, you know, there I'll give my little kind of safety talk as we go in about just horse body language, and so how, you know, the ears will tell you where their attention's going and how the ears work and how the tail works, and, you know, kind of the fact that horses can't, you know, their vision is different, and so they can't see directly in front of them or directly behind them, but their peripheral vision, you know, is fabulous and far greater than ours. And we'll do that observation, and then we'll go in and we'll meet the horses. And you know, sometimes the horses will you know, be right there, you know, just waiting for you to sort of come in and just going like, right, I'm here. you know, yes, you, I know what you need. And they'll just kind of take over almost straight away. And that can be really interesting. And other times, you know, they might be hanging back, and we might sort of, you know, do a mindful approach to them. And so I teach people a mindful approach about thinking about the layers of energy and connection, And we explore, you know, we'll do sort of human to human practice of like, how does it feel if I approach you like this? And how does it, you know, and what's the difference then? And notice the difference if I approach you like that. You know, so we talk about things like soft eye focus, you know, peripheral vision and these kind of things, and just the different intention. And we'll usually start in a fairly reflective way. You know, a lot of sessions can be very reflective, where often it's just, you know, meeting the horse and then just forming a connection with them and exploring, you know, what it feels like to touch the horse if they're happy for that to happen, because the horses have to, you know, choose to engage. They're never made to. And, you know, so it might be just, you know, hands-on, you know, just grooming, you know, grooming the neck, just that slow kind of touching and just exploring what feels good for the horse. What does the horse like? What doesn't it like? And so it's a very simple but beautifully reflective practice that really brings people into attunement with another being and creates a really close connection and brings people into the present and into their body, you know, just as they're exploring this. And for some people, that's the first time they've felt there, you know, for a while, or felt that kind of connection, that connection without agenda and just sort of being, just being as opposed to doing, you know, no agenda. We are such human doings, you know, we're not human beings a lot of the time. And so just coming into the present and just being can be such a joyful, moving experience. And it's amazing what can come up for people from this, even such a simple reflective activity, you know. And then typically when I work with people, a first session will be, you know, kind of an hour and a half. You know, it depends where people are coming from and what they need as to, you know, they can book a sort of longer session if they're traveling, you know, far and do a sort of more intense session. But because, you know, my background in my corporate world has been very much in human resources and leadership development and assessment and coaching and also career coaching, transition coaching, you know, coaching people through difficult transition periods in their career and through times of life, as well as coaching for, you know, in change. So a lot of, you know, that sort of comes into play and I will often work with people, you know, for say a series of six sessions, you know, where we're coaching for, you know, they've got a general aim and goal. And we'll see sort of what turns up, you know, and then people might come back for sort of, you know, top up sessions or just kind of as needed. And sometimes people will get things and, you know, just come and have one session or just a couple of sessions, you know, so it really depends on what people are after. But to really, you know, everyone's always, I think, surprised at just how deep and profound the work is, that often when someone's just come thinking they'll have one session and then they're like, oh, now I've got to come back. And then we might, you know, over time, depending on what people's aims are and what they need to learn, you know, we might do more active exercises with the horses, which might be encouraging people to actually form a connection, get the horse to, you know, come with them. But that might be, you know, without a head collar, without a rope, you know, and, you know, can you form the connection? Can you sustain it? How clear can you be? Can you align? Can you be coherent? You know, can you align your head, your heart, your body, and be very clear in your intention, because horses, you know, are masters at reading body language. That's their talk, you know, to a large extent. So they're absolute masters at reading energy and intention. You know, if your insides don't match your outsides, they're going to call you on it. You know, you've got to be authentic, you've got to be congruent, and they like clarity too. If you're not clear in your communication, they're going to go, you know what? You could talk to the hand effectively, you know, talk to the hoof. I'm not listening, you know, like be, you know, come on, you know, show me clearly, be clear about what you want, or do you really want it? You know, people be going, come on, you know, come along. And, you know, just asking kind of like, and this sort of almost like, you know, will you come with me? Would you come with me? As opposed to like, come with me, you know, inspire the horse to join with you and come with you, you know, and connect with their energy.
Yes.
So you're working on multiple levels really, but depending on how you know, where someone is in terms of their own spiritual beliefs, or their, you know, if they're very rational and very left-brained, or And they're here from a purely kind of like, you know, I think this will help me in, you know, dealing with, you know, some of my teammates who aren't, you know, pulling into line, or I've had this feedback and, you know, I don't believe it, but, you know, I'm told this is my style from, you know, that I can be really brash from a, you know, you know, from a leadership perspective, you know, and the horses will show them exactly kind of how they show up for people. But, you know, for some people, we might just be talking at that kind of level of, you know, very rational kind of left brain, but they will still, I guarantee it, you know, get a whole different level coming in, even if they're not willing to share it. And for other people, we go into very deep things. You know, what I often find is, you know, we're often, so many women have trapped grief in their bodies that they've never processed or dealt with, that they've stuffed down. And I see ancestral, a lot of ancestral grief, you know, that, you know, things that are carried on the maternal line. You know, we know now that, you know, we actually carry, you know, even in our DNA, there are the wounds and traumas of our, at least our grandmothers, you know, if not beyond. And that's, you know, now a scientific fact. I love that science is catching up with all this ancient wisdom. But yeah, I often find people have, you know, just are carrying these deep wounds that aren't necessarily theirs. You know, it can be ancestral, or, you know, sometimes it's past life. You know, I can, you know, delve into all sorts of things if people are happy to go there. Yeah, so, you know, it can get really quite profound and really quite deep. And, you know, it's just beautiful, beautiful work. So that's kind of how, you know, sessions might be. I work with riders with their own horses to help them develop a better connection with their horse by really actually helping them to get a better connection to themselves and become more present and more attuned, you know, energetically to their horse, more kind of really in the present moment and really connected and really listening, that deep listening on all levels, you know, not just to words. So I'll work with riders with their horses, but it's really kind of, I'm working on the riders rather than the horse, you know, but I was, you know, a trained riding instructor too. So I'll work with them in that way, because, you know, for me, then that's going to help the horses. It's going to help the people. And the more that there are conscious people, or the more people start to treat their, you know, horses, you know, really humanely and kindly. And, you know, a lot of riders have just had those horsemanship labels, you know, in the instruction of the way it used to be, you know, oh, the horse must respect you and you've got to be boss. And, you know, all these kind of dominance theories that, you know, are just so wrong. And, you know, so the more that you can kind of wake people up to, you know, open their eyes to just looking at the horse and their relationship in a different way, than the better. And I work with some children, and, you know, from dysfunctional homes, and I get some referrals from family therapy. I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psych, but some working under some kind of supervision, you know, with some of the foster children, and you know, with a family therapy practice out this way, sometimes refers people to me, because, you know, sometimes it's the carer and the child to sort of come together, because the horses can also show a lot about, you know, the dynamics in a relationship between two people. So it can be interesting couples sessions too. So I do a little bit of that work, and then I do workshops. So I'll do official Pona Quest workshops occasionally, and you know, personal development workshops that involve shamanic journeying and then reflecting with the herd of horses, you know, so various things like that, and then equine facilitated leadership workshops as well, which you know, always for corporates that, you know, workshops I typically will have, unless it's just a very small group, I'll typically, you know, collaborate with co-facilitators, because it's important. And when you've got a lot of, you know, horses and people all on the ground together, you know, obviously, you know, just a safety and risk management you know, needs to be taken into account. And so that, you know, I don't have the facilities at home to do those larger groups, so I work with people, collaborate with people, and hire facilities sort of around Sydney, or there's a beautiful place down in the Southern Highlands with a herd of, you know, 13 gorgeous empowered horses, and it's such you know, lovely energy on the land there, that's a beautiful place. I'll be doing a shamanic workshop, just a day sort of journeying and creating sacred space kind of workshop with the horses down there, which is south of Moss Vale, probably beginning of April, I think, next year we'd schedule something. Yeah. So it's a mix of kind of the ways that I work. But, you know, the beauty of working with the horses is that they can work on so many levels and they just tend to sort of get straight to whatever it is that's needed.
They don't beat around the bush. That's for sure. I've had a beautiful experience myself because you were talking earlier on about horses basically coming to you.
Mm.
Where I was invited to come to a farm in Victoria. Mm. A farm, it's not really a farm, it's a property with horses and cats and beautiful animals, dogs. And I went into the herd. I was introduced to the herd, but it was really fascinating that when I first met them, they were in the furthest of the paddocks. They had three paddocks on one side of the house and a couple of paddocks on the other side of the house. And four of the horses were in the middle paddock, and one of them was in the furthest one. And I walk into the first one right next to the house, and the horse that was in the back paddock, which is a rescued Brumby, he had his ears pricked up straight away, and he looked me straight in the eye from I don't know how far, because he was in the furthest paddock there. And he really connected instantly with me. And the lady that was with me, she looked at me, then she looked back at him and she goes, "Wow, you've got his attention." And all of a sudden he turns sideways and he runs on this path along the paddocks and he runs for the gate that stops at the end of the path.
Yeah.
And we had to open it up and he straight away runs to me. And then he stopped and he looked me straight in the eye, and it was like, and I had this overwhelming feeling of, oh my God, we're finally meeting. And we were both gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked. And the other four horses, they pricked their ears up as well, and they straight away ran to the other paddock and they stayed behind the fence, and I had to just go in and it was just a beautiful first meeting. And then the next day I walked into them and I decided that one of the horses needed some healing. So I walk up to one of them and he straight away went, not me. He walked off. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to let everything go and whoever needs me, you know. And one of the female, the only female of the herd, her name was Shadow. She straight away came up to me and stood still right in front of me. And she was, they're all rescued. She doesn't like strangers at all. And so for her to stand in front of me and actually wait was amazing. And so she was asking for me to work with her. And so we had an amazing healing with her. She has navicular disease and she is in enormous amounts of pain. She wants to be the herd leader, but she can't because she's physically not strong enough. And so that mental stuff that's happening for her as well was quite challenging at the time. So we had an amazing time together. It was so beautiful. And I felt extremely honored that she did come to me to ask for that help. But the most beautiful thing as well was, and I hadn't worked with horses before. Yes, I've been helping horses when I was younger, always worked with horses in terms of, you know, feeding them and, you know, all this sort of stuff, but not healing. It was always dogs, cats, guinea pigs, rabbits, whatever it was here in Sydney.
Yeah, the typical and, more sort of, you know, inner Sydney kind of animal rather than a horse.
Exactly. So it was a really massive deal for me to be able to do that. And whilst we were healing Shadow, in my peripheral, I could see the other horses just gathering around and they were standing in this circle around her, just grazing. And once in a while they would look up and they were just doing their own thing. But we could feel the energy just lifting and lifting and lifting. And even the two cats came on and they were sort of hovering around, and it was just the most amazing experience.
That's beautiful.
They're
just amazing, actually. Just, you know, how the horses will hold space for each other and for, you know, what's going on. You'll kind of see that, you know, with when someone's working with a horse, but also, you know, from a healing perspective too, if you're offering healing, then very often, you know, they're just, you know, very into that, and they'll just, they're just drawn to that energy. I mean, you know what it's like, and you know, kind of just basking in it. They all just love that energy. They love it when they love it when we're connected, you know, when we do that, you know, often you know, in the mornings when I'm kind of feeding the horses, I might just you know, connect with them and connect with energy. And, you know, depending on, you know, there are various practices that I have that I use, and, you know, and I work with crystals and oils and, you know, whatever else comes in, and obviously the shamanic bit. And but also you know, I do so, you know, some Qigong practice and acupressure and things like that. And so I will do sort of chakra chanting perhaps, and I might just stand with the horses and we'll all just connect, and I'll chant, you know, through, you know, the chakras, and we'll just kind of have that energetic, you know, kind of
wonderful,
you know, clearing and balancing for the day. Or, you know, I work with my pendulums as well, and we'll, you know, sort of balance chakras with those. But, or do sound healing, the sort of Qigong, sort of the, you know, the five organ system sound healing chants, which are just lovely too. So we might just kind of stand there, and I'll stand amongst the horses, and they all just, you know, kind of like come and, beautiful.
It's so amazing, isn't it? And you pick up the healing yourself too, you know, because you're opening up to all that energy that it just can't not benefit you as the healer, the teacher.
Absolutely. And you know, I kind of watch the horses, you know, just come, and I've seen so many amazing things that they've done with clients. But, you know, very often they'll just, you know, just stand and breathe on people, you know, and the, and it's just, you can see that there's something really deep happening. You know, they often seem to know, like if someone has a physical injury as well, they'll just breathe over that, you know, or just touch that area on somebody. So they, you know, they really are very tuned in to that kind of energy. But, you know, I've had clients here who've kind of just, you know, been doing a reflective session with a horse, and then just, you know, suddenly sort of had a message from them, and you know, kind of, or realize that the horse, you know, they're craving support and want to sort of lean into the horse, but also, you know, feeling respectful, and that they can't just sort of do that. But, you know, this one client was working with my very big horse, who you know, just was kind of, you know, indicating to her, you know, and obviously this was all silent, and I'm just holding the space there, but this is what she was telling me afterwards, and certainly, you know, aligns with what I was witnessing and feeling. But she felt that he just offered for her to like really lean on him, and so she just did lean into him, onto his neck, you know, and just lent her weight into him a bit. And he stood there for quite some time, you know, with her, and then, you know, it was kind of complete. And when we process it afterwards, she said to me that that was the most beautiful gift that she'd had in a long time, that she had not felt, she realized that she'd never felt supported by any of the men in her life. And that it was the first time that this, you know, gorgeous, because he's a big horse and he's very much has that sort of energetic male presence, but also he feels very much like a, you know, a lot of people kind of comment that he seems such a gentleman. And he was just like there for her. And that was just such an extraordinary experience for her. You know, it was a really joyful experience.
Yeah.
And just to feel, you know, very moving, just to feel totally supported, but also to come to the realization that in all of her, you know, she was fairly recently divorced, in all of her past, you know, relationships, she'd been the one that, you know, they'd lent on, that it had never been the other way around. You know, and that's kind of like that insight to really start to look at, well, what's attracting that, you know, and what patterns, those dysfunctional patterns that are in your life, you know, why are they there? Are they there for, is it your story? Is it, you know, kind of an old wound? I mean, you know, is it, you know, from a childhood pattern of attachment? You know, what is it? You know, and you can sort of unpack those things a bit then, and kind of just see where people are, you know, trying to try and help shift that pattern, and experiment with you know, new ways of being in relationship. And that's the beauty of working with a horse, is that, you know, of course you're working in relationship, You know, but we're always in relationship. Everything is even a bit to ourselves, you know, to the earth, to, you know, the stone, to the rocks, you know, to the trees, you know, it's all there. But yeah, to really, when you're working with a horse in this way, you can also have the opportunity to practice. So that's that experiential piece of kind of, you know, practicing how it might be different to be in a relationship, to feel supported and get mm-hmm. that feeling in the body. So you can actually then kind of anchor it, because, you know, we know that, change, transformational change, you know, takes time, because our bodies and our brains are kind of wired, you know, when we've used those neurons and those neural pathways all the time, they're like the sort of superhighways in our brain. And that's just the road we'll go down, because that's what we've formed and it's the easy one. Whereas if we're trying to form new tracks, it's like going off into the, you know, bush, and we've got to, you know, make our way, and, you know, it's harder. And so, you know, until we, you know, kind of can get into that practice of working that way, you know, we'll keep reverting to the old pattern. And so, you know, to actually get some of those shifts happening, you know, it's, and to practice that with another being in this different kind of relational way, where there's also no judgment and no language, which can so mess things up. You know, spoken language, I mean, not obviously there's plenty of language going on, but I mean, you know, verbal, you know, human language. you know, so it's lovely. And I, you know, I recall at another time, she sent me an email or a text in between sort of sessions before she was coming back for another one, just saying that she'd been standing, she was on her way to work, and she was just waiting at a traffic light to cross the road, and she just suddenly had this moment of feeling slightly sort of dizzy, and she put her hand out, and there was a, you know, tree near the traffic light, and she put her hand on the tree just to support herself, and she said to me, she said, I promise you that tree became, it was the horse's neck. I could feel his skin. I could feel him there, and he was there supporting me still. And, you know, there's lots of people who've then been visited by my horses, kind of, you know, in both dreams, but, or, you know, in meditations, you know, I've had someone who was sitting doing morning meditation, and one of my horses just suddenly appeared in front of me. You know? So the work can really kind of, you know, seep in and soak in, like, over time. And I love the fact that the horses are so generous and will continue to support people, you know, in those ways, even if they're not physically present.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and it's so beautiful. Power.
And so that's just, you know, amazing, you know, and that's, yeah, that's the, you know, the real kind of spiritual gift of, you know, working with animals like that. And for people who are open to those things, or even some people who are not so open, have had some experiences that have caused them to, you know, kind of think a little differently, which is beautiful, because I want everyone to feel more connected to the earth and be kinder. So, you know, yes. The more experiences like that that people can have, that just shift their, you know, their current belief pattern, you know, or their perception a little, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Amazing. And especially because it flows through, you know, all the energies just keep moving along after the sessions, even, and after working with them.
Yeah.
It is so amazing.
Yeah. The horses are just super powerful. You know, they just seem to, you know, I really, you know, just, they are, they're extraordinary, the energy they bring to it. There's also research now, you know, like that show that you know, we can, being in the presence of a horse can help us become more coherent, our heart rate variability can improve, and this kind of thing, you know, if their system is more coherent. And just as if we practice coherence, horses are more inclined to want to be with us, you know, when we're actually in that great state where we're healthy, our heart rate variability is good, and our systems are, you know, our brain and our heart and our gut are kind of aligned. That leads to that sort of coherent state. And horses really, you know, are attuned to that, and they like it. You know, it's just like, you know, nature loves balance, and they kind of, they're attracted to that, but they can equally, you know, they can often be more coherent than the human they're working with. But being, you know, with the you know, research shows now that, if there's one person, you know, in the room that's coherent, even as many as four other people in the room who are not coherent will start to fall into the pattern of coherence and become more coherent with that one person being coherent. You know, and horses' heart fields are just so much bigger than ours. So I think if you've got a coherent horse, that can really help, you know, kind of bring people into that state if they're just kind of in their presence. So, you know, I think that's really powerful. I love the fact, again, that, you know, science is starting to sort of catch up with ancient wisdom, and the fact that there is now some of this, you know, research. So for the skeptics, you know, there is, you can actually sort of give them some, you know, some sense of why, you know, this is actually powerful and why it's actually helpful. Because, you know, even when you're working with corporates, you know, if you're in a more coherent system, you actually make better decisions and your thinking is clearer. You know, so there's a benefit, you know.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And science is definitely picking up in a lot of different areas too. So that's wonderful to see, because we actually need to start working together rather than keeping the two separate streams, right?
Exactly. You know, it's just like having, you know, there's a lot of now in certainly in North America, and I think in the UK too, you know, psychotherapists and psychologists who are also shamanic practitioners who employ both, you know, kind of methods of healing work, which is just, you know, fabulous, because, you know, Western medicine only treats symptoms, and it's really quite limiting. You know, it doesn't look at the whole person. It doesn't look at, you know, sort of emotions, and it doesn't look at, you know, sort of spirit and the, you know, to bring everything in, you know, from a shamanic perspective is really important. You know, just as it is, you know, in many ways with traditional Chinese and Eastern approaches to medicine, you know, with the, you know, I've seen such powerful stuff, you know, with myself and with animals and with, you know, people I work with acupuncture. You know, my horses regularly get, you know, sort of treatments, you know, they get body work and stuff, you know, some of which I can do, but then they also, you know, I have professionals that come in and do acupuncture and things. But I know with the acupressure, and when I do sort of energy healing and just work through, you know, sort of various meridians with the horses, which I do, you know, to keep them energetically healthy with the kind of work they do, we have regular kind of healing sessions. You know, you can see, you know, just the impact that it has on them and how it just clears blockages. You feel it yourself. So I think it's beautiful that we can start to, you know, get that science meeting, you know, kind of the spiritual or, you know, whatever. But it's great that that's starting to happen, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, much needed. That's for
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, and tapping into, you know, ancient wisdom, and it's really tapping into, you know, intuition, those senses that, you know, are still so alive in animals, although obviously even more so in, you know, wild animals than, you know, domesticated animals, you know. So for example, that's why, you know, that Brumby would be such power, so powerful, because in my experience working with, you know, horses that have lived wild in the past, you know, they just have a very, you know, they're really connected in a kind of different way too, because they've lived in that.